I'm not getting any music. I'm not muted. No sound, okay. No sound. Okay.
So you had that turned off. You're mute. Well, I turned it back on. Nobody else can hear you either.
Your own picture went up here. That goes.
That's down here where the camera is.
Yeah, you're not locking out my face.
Yes, you don't want your face on there, right?
Right.
Has the server
What?
started?
Here we go. Unmuted it for you.
You call? I'll leave it. Got a different person on today, I suppose.
Right.
Better hit the road. It's bad out.
Well, Green Lake County had everything salted. I hit KK where Fond du Lac County starts, and I could feel the vehicle swaying.
Jake,
oh, yeah, we have.
Hey, it's all about you.
No, it's not.
don't want to jinx you.
I think it's January 18th. Oh, it's open to the
public. All right. Deb says it's all about me, which I shouldn't let my head get too big. But I am going to lead us in the introit. If you were here at the if you were here at the traditional Christmas Eve service, we sang this we sang this as the introit for that service. But if you weren't, this will be new for you. So what I'm going to do, and what the choir is going to do, is we'll sing it through once, and then we'll do it a second time and have you join us if you'd like. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful time. Jesus, Jesus, so holy. New life, new hope, the child will bring. Listen to the angels sing. Glory, 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 let the heavens ring. That's all there is to it. Let's sing together. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful time. Jesus,
you know, if those of you in the back would move up, Pastor Jacob wouldn't have to walk too far to talk to you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship, if you're able. Creator God, in the birth of Christ, you have given yourself to the world. Living Christ, you dwell among us, sharing our human struggles and delights.
Be born in our hearts, save us from our sin, and lead us in the way of life.
Holy Spirit, by your grace, Mary conceived and bore a son. Work in us also and restore within us the image and likeness of our Creator. Join me in the opening prayer. Loving God, as a child, Jesus sought you in the temple, talking to the elders. We seek you too. We come seeking, though others may think we are lost. We come with our experience and our questions, though others may dismiss them. Bless us now, that we may speak with clarity and listen with courage, that your word may shape us for the sake of the whole world. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 179, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world.
Say
Amen. Please be seated. Before we start our children's time today, we are going to be listening to a poem. This is a poem by the Reverend Steve Garness Holmes. He is a retired United Methodist pastor, and he sends out a mailing list every day of poetry and other prayers and things like that. And he's also written some of the liturgy that we've used. In fact, the opening prayer and call to worship are both his. And there's a poem that he composed just recently that I got in my mailing list, and we're going to actually hear him read it, and you'll see the words up on the screen as well.
Mary. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. Luke 2:6. Stressed, unwelcomed, you have borne your joy, carried it to full term. In harsh places, you have shielded the wonder within. In the deep night of the world's abandonment, you have delivered your love that is our own deliverance. Now, caked with the stable sour crud and birth's sweet crud, you rest. Life has evoked life in you. You have brought forth love, yours and ours. Rest in this. There will be much to do. The child will soon be hungry. There will be shepherds. There will be fleeing. But now, in this peace, rest.
Amen. Now, if there are any young worshipers here with us today, let's join together until children's time.
That's sure connected. So I have to give all the credit to today's children's time to our December 28th devotional. Her name was Alana Broyles. She was from Virginia. And as I was reading hers yesterday morning when I do my devotions, I'm like, oh, perfect children's time message. I'm stealing this. So we have not, last year we really focused on Oh, he remembers. Yeah, we put the kings from Orient Ar, which we never figured out where Orient Ar was, and we put them way back, right? And the shepherds get there first, so we put them in the earlier windows. And we even put Mary and Joseph, because they had how many? Oh, yeah, that was that 70-mile journey, right, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So today I thought I'd focus on the manger scene. And she pointed out to me, this Alana Broyles, that when you're looking at the nativity scene, see it through the eyes of the shepherds and then try to be like the shepherds. The shepherds are leaders. They lead us. The shepherds nurture their animals. And if we could provide nurturing and leadership to those around us. So shepherds are a great example of what to do. But everything is an example here. We could be like the kings. The kings help us to listen to your call to us. The kings heard that call and went and followed the star. And the kings shared their gifts with others. We all have gifts to share that we can share with others. So the kings remind us to share with others. Remember, I stole all this good material from this gal. And then you look at Joseph and Mary. They taught us how to fully trust in God. Can you imagine just an angel coming out of nowhere and telling Mary, oh, you're going to have the Savior. You're going to have Jesus. You're going to have a baby. And Joseph, you're going to be the father. Oh, boy. That's quite a surprise. But they trusted God. And it shows us how to trust. So the shepherds show us leadership and nurturing. The kings tell us, remind us to share our gifts. And Mary and Joseph remind us to trust in God. Remind, yes, to keep our faith. Good job, Miles. So we can learn a lot from this nativity scene. And the last but not least, though, we can learn from Jesus. Jesus taught us to love and be kind. He also taught us to forgive. I was thinking about this. I think I have three nativity scenes up in my own home, and I have one down in the basement in a box. So if any family out there needs a nativity scene, it's free to a good home. I think every family should have it. It's just the neatest thing. It's the greatest tool to talk to your children about. And it's such an important part of Christmas. Pastor Jacob, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for Jesus and what we can learn from him. Help us be as loving,
be as joyful,
and be as challenging
as his life
and ministry were to us. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
our reading today. Our reading today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. This is from the CEB translation. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be careful, be thankful, people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord. And give thanks to God the Creator through him. Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. My friends, will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the inspiration for my sermon title today came from an experience that I had in clinical pastoral education. Now, clinical pastoral education, for those of you who haven't heard of it, is an experience that all ordained ministers in the Wisconsin Conference UCC have to go through in order to be ordained. It's a way that we learn how to do effective and informed pastoral care. And you might think of it sort of like a glorified chaplaincy internship. Even though I wasn't planning to be a chaplain, like in a clinical setting, there are a lot of similarities between what chaplains do and what local church pastors do. So there's enough of an overlap there. And I am a naturally anxious person, right? Most of you know this. I'm a procrastinator. I do things sort of at the last minute sometimes. Church leaders have told me, why are you worrying so much about stuff? You know, you'd calm down a little bit. And so I'm a naturally anxious person, and so I was about to go into a visit. And I was worried that I was going to forget something, that I was not going to do something right. And so I talked to my supervisor, whose name was Kelly. And I said, Kelly, what if I forget something? There are so many things that I have to remember. I have to monitor the patient's physical state. Emotional state, you know, I had to do all of the medical charting. Like if I had to learn how to do medical charting just like you do when you're a healthcare provider in a doctor's office. Not quite as detailed, of course, but I did have to do some medical charting, and so this and this and this and this. And she said the answer that she gave was pretty simple. She said, "Keep the main thing the main thing." In other words, there were always going to be so many variables for me to be mindful of, right? But as long as I stayed focused and tried to remember what the main thing was, what the most important thing was for me to do, that I would provide care that was spirit-led and meaningful. And so I've tried to do that throughout the future of my ministry, and the truth is that as the church, there are lots of things that are vying for our attention, right? How do we keep our giving strong? Do our actions match our mission as a church? Is the work of the church running smoothly, or do we need to look at things again so that we don't fall into the old patterns that that led to some discord in this church's leadership in the past? People have told me here that there are some painful moments in this church's history that Pastor Jack and some other pastors that you've had have sort of helped you get through, right? And so are we falling into those old traps? And so this is the kind of thing that Paul is asking us to do in today's passage from Colossians. Paul is speaking to people who are trying to do their best to advance the teachings of Jesus after his death. Now, of course, they have good intentions, but people are people, right? People would much rather argue about the color of the carpet in the sanctuary than think about, like, okay, how do we truly live into the best of what Jesus calls us to do? There are all sorts of things that we argue with each other about when we don't necessarily think about how we ourselves are moving forward in our faith journey. Now, if we zoom out a little bit in our text, we recognize that Paul is calling out some behaviors that that run counter to the will of Christ. A few verses before the passage starts, he says, "Now set aside these things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene language. Don't lie to each other." Now, despite our best efforts, churches are communities of people. Sometimes we fight over things that don't actually matter that much. And sometimes we don't listen as well as we should to each other. Sometimes it's hard for us to see past the differences in other people when in reality we should always be working to see each other first as beloved children of God, worthy of God's love and redeeming. After all, we are all God's chosen people, holy and loved, and God's likeness lives inside each one of us. Often, many of us need a reminder of what it means to live in genuine community. Our society is divided by political and social and ideological differences, and yet churches like ours, churches like this, are a refuge for so many people from many different backgrounds. And when communities like ours work at our best, we can be ourselves with one another, which is a feeling that we might not always experience outside of these walls. Paul reminds the Colossians of the importance of tolerating each other's differences, recognizing that God loves others just as deeply as God loves us. We don't always have to agree with each other or understand the particulars of how we differ from one another. We recognize that people of all backgrounds and demographics need a place at the table. They deserve a place at the table. The disabled person that is lobbying for greater access after they've been told and told and told that ramps and elevators are too expensive. the person whose anxiety and depression or other mental illness has outcast them from social circles, the teenager who's questioning their sexual orientation and just wants to be loved for who they know God created them to be. The person who's made a few mistakes in their lives and yearns for a place where they can forgive themselves and rest in knowing that God hasn't given up on them. All of these people and all of us deserve a place at the table. So the most important part of everything that Paul says, over all these things, he says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Keep the main thing the main thing. Now, it's not always so simple. Many people know that Paul is complicated. If you read further into this actual chapter, he talks about wives submitting to their husbands and slaves being obedient to their masters, right? These are things that we don't, we know that that kind of stuff is not what we endorse these days, right? And this is a prime example of the fact that just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that Paul always got it right, right? And I will stand before you today and say, I'm not perfect. Shocker. If you thought you were calling a perfect pastor, you are dead wrong. And you're not perfect either. Shocker. Love y'all, but you got your flaws, just like anyone else, right? And that's okay. And that's okay. When we mess up, we always need to remember how much God loves us even when we mess up and how we should love each other, right? There is grace enough for me. And there is grace enough for you. And there is grace enough for all of us. Right? Even when we mess up. So that is the good news. That's the good news for today. As you embark on this new year, God guides you to love one another above all and be mindful of what's most important. Now, friends, community is messy. Community is complicated. Community can be a vessel to hurt and ignore people. It's not always going to be easy. But if we put on love over all else, keeping the main thing, the ways we differ from others don't have to divide us. As my friend Andra Moran wrote in a song of hers, love first, love always. We'll figure the rest out as we go. So as we prepare to move forward from Christmas to Epiphany to all the rest of the seasons of the church year, what if we carried the joy we've felt in this Christmas season and let that shape our actions moving forward? What if we let love lead us? What if we let love first love always, we'll figure the rest out as we go. What if we let that be our mantra? What if we kept the main thing of being loving and having the capacity to love others and love ourselves when we mess up? So as you enter into this journey, into this new year, may you know first that you are beloved of God. And that you are called by God to co-create justice and joy, compassion and peace. And may you respond to God's call as thankful people. And may you always remember to lead with love. Love first, love always. Keep the main thing the main thing. The ways we're different from one another will never be as powerful as the love we share, even when it isn't easy, especially when it isn't easy. May that love be your guide as you do the work of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now we're going to sing some hymns together. And you get to decide what that is. So, like I said before, Advent hymns begin at 152, and Christmas hymns begin at 179. And we might get to test Sue's sight reading ability. She's great. We love her, right? She'll do just fine. So what are we singing? Yell a number out.
First, we have choir.
Oh, that's right. Hymn sings first. Yep. Hymn sings first. Then we have choir. So I wasn't crazy, right? It's all good. It's all good. I was willing to take the fall on that, but it's okay. So what are we singing? Anybody have any requests?
184.
What child is this? Which one is that? 184. Let's do the first verse and the third verse of this one. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? And angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, whom peasant king to own him. King of kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Praise, praise the song on high, and the virgin sings her lullaby. My joy for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Did I hear 153? I heard 153. Okay, let's do one verse of 153. This is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. First verse.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation. joy of every longing heart.
All right, what's next?
188.
One verse.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo.
Great. Anybody else? 185 and 186. We'll do that in that order. Yeah.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, Lord and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
186. 186.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
All right, maybe two more.
189.
189.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Good. One more? 192. That's going to be a hard one to do. Let's just do the first page of the first verse. Oh, stay at the organ. It's fine. Yeah. That's okay. Mary, did you know? Know that your baby boy will someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. All right. Thank you all. This has been lovely. Now the choir is going to sing, and then we'll enter into some prayer time. Join and do a time of prayer. Let's start by taking some moments of silence as we think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So what prayers do we bring today? Yeah, one over here. What's that? Oh, somebody way back. Who was it? Okay.
I'd like to pray for my sister who is suffering from CLL, chronic lymphomic leukemia, and is continuing infusions and further medications. She's highly vulnerable right now. Thank you.
Yeah. And what's her first name? Linda. For Linda, for Deb's sister Linda, as she deals with leukemia, God in your mercy. A joy that was made that I was made aware of at the earlier service. Taylor and Marissa Hunick, Haley's brother and sister-in-law, welcomed their first child this week. And what was his name again? Bennett. So for Bennett and for Taylor and Marissa and their whole family, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today? Oh, Rick, you had one.
Yeah, my Wayland friend Ben, who had been in hospice care, he did pass away Christmas Eve morning.
Oh, wow.
So prayers for his wife and daughter.
Prayers for all who knew and loved Ben. God on your mercy. And Rick, you had an update on Lori's... Wow. Lori's brother had open heart surgery and all went well. He gets out of intensive care today. God in your mercy. Anything else? Yes. Oh, right. Emily.
I have a student who was in a really bad car accident a couple weeks ago, like the second week of December. We are still praying for her. She's still with us, but is still at Children's in Milwaukee and has a long road to recovery. So just keep the prayers coming, please.
Thank you. Emily. Yeah.
Oh, her first name is Alexis.
Alexis. Are we? I didn't know if we were allowed to say that, so I... Okay. Yeah. For Alexis and for Alexis's medical team and for all of the teachers and all of those like Emily who are helping Alexis's classmates deal with this really difficult situation. For all of that, God in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? I'll give you a minute. No. Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you gather us here to remind us that our first call is to love. And to be loving, and to be bearers of your love in a difficult world. We give thanks for Jesus, who taught us and continues to teach us how to share that love. We lift with joy and concern all of the names and all of those whose situations we have lifted up. For new life through the birth of Bennett, through restored life through open heart surgery, and through life that is vulnerable through cancer and car accidents and other situations. And we, of course, continue to pray, especially at this time of year, for those who face food insecurity, poverty, homelessness, discrimination, war, conflict, abuse, and all sorts of situations that are deeply pressing both at home and abroad. And we pray all of this in the name of your newborn son, Jesus, who even as a tiny baby turned the world around and taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. However you give, please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. You may give through the offering plates that the ushers pass around, or you may also give online at ucc.wapan.net. In our doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Lavish God, collect these offerings. Amen. Our closing hymn is 198, Good Christian Friends. Only 7 minutes over, it's okay. Now, friends, receive these words of benediction. May God's door of welcome swing open in your heart and in your life. May Christ's humble first dwelling remind you of the plenty you already know. And may the Spirit lead you into more possibility and hospitality than you can imagine, making room in the inn for all. May it be so for you. May it be so for us. May it be so for this church. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.